This is Hacker Public Radio episode 3511 for Monday the 17th of January 2022. Today's show is entitled, Podman Like Vagrant and is part of the series, Virtualization. It is hosted by Klaatu and is about 19 minutes long and carries a clean flag. The summary is, this is how I use Podman on the desktop.
Hey everyone, this is Klaatu. Remember back in episode 1522 how I talked about Docker and Linux containers? That was a long time ago, and lately I've been using Podman, which is a daemonless container image or container engine, a lot like Docker in that its command structure is exactly like Docker. It can be a drop-in replacement for Docker. So I've been using that quite a lot, and I also quite like the licensing of Podman. It's a lot clearer, and I feel like it's a lot more stable, like the licensing policy, than Docker. Docker has always confused me in terms of what's open source, what's not open source, what's Mobi, what's Docker, kind of difficult to be sure. So Podman doesn't really have that confusion. Podman is an open source project. That's what it is. You don't have to navigate any exceptions or swarms or anything that you're not clear about. So Podman has been really nice for me. And lately, the reason I've been using it a lot is because Vagrant kind of fell over for me. I shouldn't say that. Vagrant didn't fall over. The platform upon which I am running Vagrant and Vagrant itself have decided to disagree. It's something to do with a local SSL library that Vagrant ships with their with the package that they provide, which normally I would just ignore, but I want to use typically a libvirt plugin with Vagrant, and so I have to use the current HashiCorp version of Vagrant in order for that plugin to work, but there's a conflict with my system SSL versus Vagrant's SSL or Ruby rather that Vagrant uses. So, and that's the embedded Ruby in the Vagrant package rather than the Ruby on my system. So there's a lot of kind of local things that Vagrant apparently does that if you get it onto the wrong system, it just won't work because they did like this sort of partial, almost all there, but not quite all there distribution of the application. So I guess it is Vagrant's fault actually. And I had been using Vagrant to fire up quick virtual machines to run a test, you know, like if I don't know how something works on say Debian, but I want to see, you know, I don't want to compare how it works on my Fedora machine, then I would just use Vagrant to grab a Debian image, a Debian box, I guess, in Vagrant terms, and then drop into a Debian terminal. It's pretty quick because it's very minimal. It was one of the nice features about Vagrant, and that just hasn't been working lately. So I spent a day trying to fix the Vagrant issue, but I finally decided after wasting a day on it that it was not worth it, and that what this really was a note for me to start using containers for stuff other than Kubernetes. Like, actually just start using desktop containers, which I kind of started doing anyway with Fedora Silverblue in a way. So I felt like containers were probably the right and the easy answer. So here's what I do. Here's the workflow with Podman. I mean, it's really just a question of workflow. Podman, more or less, and Linux containers, I mean, if you're used to them, then they probably are already working for you. If you're not, though, Podman actually is a really easy entry point into actually useful containers. Because it is an interesting quirk of containers that if you're not running a server with a bunch of what would have been normally virtual machines running on that server, then you probably haven't replaced those virtual machines with, or you probably have replaced those virtual machines, or you may have replaced them with containers. But if you're not doing that, if you're not running a server, then containers, you know, for a desktop user, they're quite possibly just not useful. So, I mean, certainly for me as a desktop user, like the thing I would use virtual machines for was when some new distribution came out and I just couldn't stand to not see what its desktop desktop wallpaper was. So I would fire up a virtual machine, install the the distro, go through the install steps just to kind of get a feel for what they're doing for their install, and look at the wallpaper, and then close the virtual machine and never reopen it again. Containers, it doesn't generally, unless you go to a lot of trouble, they don't give you that sort of satisfaction. So you're probably just running a minimal environment in a container. And why do you do that as a desktop user? I mean, you've got an environment. It's your terminal. You don't need a container for this. So containers kind of, I think, are a little bit, they kind of languish on a lot of desktop users' desktops because you just don't use them. But Podman and a minimal container, it can actually be apparently really useful for, like I say, if you just want to compare, hey, does this thing work also on this other distro that I'm not running? Well, a container can tell you that. Or if you want to try something that could potentially be rather destructive to your actual system, then you could fire up a container and do your crazy experiment in that container, maybe mess it up, who cares, doesn't matter, when you close it, it's going to be gone anyway, or maybe it'll work, and now you've confirmed that the crazy experiment that you want to try indeed does function. So, a couple of different steps. One is to install Podman. Got to do that first. Second one is to configure Podman. And then the third step is, of course, to run a container and do something in it to actually put it to use. So the first step, installing Podman, that's easy. If you're on Fedora or CentOS or RHEL or whatever, Podman's probably already there, to be honest. Other distributions, Magia, something like that, you might have to do like a sudo dnf install Podman on Debian or Ubuntu. Sudo apt install. I knew there was a cadence there. I just forgot to start with sudo. Sudo apt install Podman. I don't know if you have to add a repository for that these days or not, but it's a pretty quick install. Like I say, Podman is open source, so there's no weird, people don't have to hide it away in some offshore repository. It's just a container engine that's open source. So grab that from your repository, and now you need to configure it. You can try to see if it gets auto-configured correctly by just running podman space run space dash it space busybox. That is the podman, well, the podman run dash it is the podman and docker command to run a container and to open an interactive terminal or an interactive prompt into that container. If you don't have the dash IT, then you'll run a container. The container detects that it has nothing to do, and it closes immediately. So that's not very useful. So podman space run space dash IT is kind of the incantation you'll want to remember. The busy box there at the end just says tells podman to reference its little list of short names and to resolve Busybox. Busybox is a common enough container that it lives on several different container registries online, and Podman is able to reference that short name, discover a valid Busybox image out there on the internet, and it'll pull it down very quickly. It's a very small container, and it'll run it for you. So you'll be dropped into a little root prompt in a Busybox container. You type in exit to leave that container, but you now know that Podman does indeed work. If that does not work, and I'd say there's a good 50 to 70% chance that that doesn't work, then you need to add some additional UIDs and GIDs, group IDs, to your user. So naturally, generally, the way users are created on Linux, you get one UID, and that is the one that you've been assigned usually by default when creating your account. So usually it's like 1,000, but I mean maybe you put in your own UID. Whatever it is, it's an UID. It's one UID. So you need more for Podman, because Podman is going to want to run a bunch of things that you're, as a user, you normally don't launch yourself. So to do that, you can do sudo space user mod space dash dash add dash sub UIDs, and I usually start at 200,000, so 200,000 dash 265536. There's some reason that 65,536 is not a magical number, but it's a magical number. It's there's some significance to that number. I forget what it is, and it hasn't really annoyed me enough to actually look it up. but it's some upper limit of some attribute, probably a syscuttle thing. Anyway, space dash dash add dash subgids 200,000 dash 265,536 space your user ID, or your username, sorry, Klaatu, or whatever your username is. So that's sudo usermod dash dash add subuids 200,000 to 265,536 space dash dash add subgids 200,000 to 265,536 space Klaatu. You do that, and what that actually does is adds an entry to slash etsy slash subuid and slash etsy slash subgid with essentially the starting number 200,000 and then the upper limit, which is 65,536. So you can actually just, if you wanted to, you could just edit that file, cat etsy sub uid. Yeah, so Klaatu colon 200000 colon 65536. Just colon separated values with username, starting point, upper limit, and do that with slash etsy subuid and slash etsy subgid. Either way, once that has been established, then you can either reboot or log out and log back in. Whatever gives you confidence that the modifications to your user have been integrated, and then you can finally use Podman. And again, the quickest, easiest test for that is just Podman space run space dash IT space busybox. If you get a prompt, a little root prompt in a busybox environment, then you know that you're good, you're gold. So you again type exit if you got yourself there, so that you're back out into your normal environment. And we've now done two of the three steps. So one was get Podman, two was configure Podman, three is run it, run Podman. And I mean, technically you've already done that, but I'm going to talk about how I do it, because it is a little bit, not different, but I mean, it's specific. It is specific to the sort of the use case that I'm describing here. So what I do is I do Podman space run space dash IT. No, actually, you know what? First I'm going to do this, Podman search Debian. And that looks all over the internet at a couple of different known container registries like Docker and key.io and Fedora project dot something or another. A couple of them out there that searches all those for an image called Debian. And the top hit here, which I'll just accept, is docker.io slash library slash Debian. And I don't know what version of Debian, it doesn't really say, but it doesn't matter for this example. So what I'm going to do here is I'm going to make a directory in my current, I'm in a folder that I call podscratch, podscratch, because it's just kind of a scratch area for my Podman activities. And I'm going to make a directory here called data, D-A-T-A. It's an empty directory, and you'll see why in a moment. And then I'm going to do podman space run space dash IT space space volume dot slash data colon slash storage colon capital Z or Z space, and then what was it? docker.io slash library slash Debian. So I'm running that command. And what that is doing, well, I'll talk while it's pulling down the Debian image. What that does is it, the dash dash volume option looks, it finds my local data directory, which I just, because I told it to, dot slash data, that's that directory, and then colon slash storage. So what that does is tells Podman to create a slash storage directory in the container that I'm running, and to mirror that directory locally in the data directory. So I just made that data directory, so I know that it's empty. Debian has now been pulled down, so I'm now sitting at a root prompt in a container with a randomized or a pseudo randomized name, and I could do an ls. I could do an ls. No, I don't even have to do that. Yep, just ls. And there I see there is a storage directory here at the root of my container environment. So I'm going to do a touch hello. No, not touch hello. I'm going to do a touch storage hello. And then I'm going to, I guess, exit. Because, that was it. That was running Podman. But now if I look in my data directory, which previously was empty, so this is my local environment. I have a data directory that I just made before running Podman. There's a hello file in that data directory now. And that's only there because I associated my local data directory with the storage container in my, with the storage directory in my container. The colon Z at the end, the capital Z, that is for SE Linux. It ensures that the file contexts are adjusted to allow the container to put data into a local directory outside of its own namespace. Normally, this should never happen, but the colon capital Z ensures that all the permissions are adjusted automatically for me. So that's how I run my containers, as if though they were virtual machines. And because of that little portal, that volume portal, I can put files in data and then grab them from my container. So for instance, I'll touch foobar in the data directory. So touch data foobar, and then I'm going to run the same command again, podman run it dash it dash dash volume dot slash data colon slash storage, or I could even call it, instead of storage, I'll call it penguin, colon capital Z, docker.io, library Debian. Okay, instantly I get my root prompt at some random looking host name. I do an ls, and this time instead of a storage directory, there's a penguin directory. Let's look in the penguin directory. This time, instead of just, well, previously there was nothing, now there's a foobar file and a hello file, confirming, once again, that data location is completely shared between the container and the local host. So I'm going to type exit again. The container is destroyed. If I generated any data outside of the storage directory in that container, it's gone now. I guess I could demonstrate that really quick. So if I do a podman run it volume data blah, then here I am in a new container. I'll touch a file called hacker public radio. So now I've got a big empty file at the root of my container called hacker public radio. I'll do an exit, look in data just to make sure I didn't accidentally put it there. I didn't. It's foobar and hello is still just in there. Run podman again, I get yet a new container, new host name, I do an ls. There's a penguin directory, but there's no hacker public radio directory because, of course, that was destroyed along with the container after I typed exit. So this is a great way, like if you do any kind of testing on more than one distribution, podman is a great way to get an admittedly minimal environment of that container, of that distribution, running in as a container. You can interact with it in a couple of different ways. I say a couple of ways, just meaning you could run it and do some stuff, or you could run it with that little data, that volume option, and that way you have a sort of a data portal between your local host and the container. But I mean, there's lots of languages out there that talk to Podman. You know, there are modules for Python and others. I'm just kind of making stuff up now. I'm sure there are others. Java, I know Java, Python, and there's probably other. Oh, Ruby. There's definitely a Ruby, whatever they call it, a gem for Podman. So yeah, there are lots of different ways that you could interact with this environment, with this container. And yeah, for my money of $0, it's been fantastic. I mean, it has made that sort of like that, just that quick impulse of like, does this command work exactly the same way on Debian? Oh, yes, it does. Okay, cool. Exit, never think about it again until I have that question again, fire up the container, and it's just so quick. It's actually, I would have to say it's easier than my old Vagrant workflow. So that's Podman for your desktop, maybe, if that's the kind of things that you do on your desktop. I would say that has been the first sort of real, like, desktop-y kind of use case that I have had for a container so far. Like, that's really been, aside from just, I guess you could argue making a little virtual network and, you know, kind of routing things in your virtual network. That's a desktop activity as well. But this feels very desktop-y. Like it could just be something as simple as you're writing a shell script and you're just not 100% sure whether this location that's on your machine, it would also exist by default on a Debian machine or something like that. Then container, it's there, you can check, and then it's gone. Easy, quick, convenient, lightweight. Give it a shot. I think you might like it. Thanks for listening. I'll talk to you next time.
You've been listening to Hacker Public Radio at hackerpublicradio.org. Today's show was contributed by an HPR listener like yourself. If you ever thought of recording a podcast, then click on our contribute link to find out how easy it really is. Hosting for HPR is kindly provided by anhonesthost.com, the Internet Archive, and rsync.net. Unless otherwise stated, today's show is released under a Creative Commons Attribution ShareAlike 3.0 license.